Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are so excited today to have a special guest with us, Larry Alex Taunton. Larry has been with us before to discuss his wonderful book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. Today, Larry is joining with us to talk about some very alarming trends. Trends that are related, I think, as far as divorce rates in America and the increase in a number of people, especially young 20s and 30-somethings, declaring to be nuns. They have no religious affiliation. So, Larry, we're so honored to have you with us again today, my friend.
Delighted to be with you.
Well, you've done some interesting studies. I think back in 2013, you interviewed some students on college campuses, and was that the University of Alabama?
You know, actually, they were all over the United States. We wanted to make sure that we got a cross-section of students from junior colleges to the Ivy League, from the Northwest to the Southeast, Middle America, male, female. We tried to get a very good cross-section of students.
Well, I was just trying to get a shameless plug in for your, you know, Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide.
Well, Bob, we could spend the whole time just talking about that, you know. Roll Tide. In this state, you know, it's about 75% Alabama fans, and the rest are, you know, there's a university in the southern part of the state that very few have ever heard of. It's called Auburn University. And there are some people in this state who root for Auburn, but that would not be me.
Well, I know and I understand that. I tell you, just, so 75% are Alabama, the rest are nuns.
Yeah.
You know,
the rest are nuns. They're atheists.
Yes. Well, let's get back to this study. I thought it was fascinating. You asked some questions to students, I guess, who identified themselves as atheists or agnostics, and you asked them to describe their journey into unbelief. And so what did you discover? What did you find out from them?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. There is a new study out just in the last month from the Public Religion Research Institute. And what they've discovered is that there is a connection between divorced parents and their children's, you know, irreligious attitudes. They discovered that there is a significant likelihood that children of divorced parents will grow up and, no religious inclinations whatsoever than among, you know, stable families that stay together. And this reflects our own research. I wrote a piece for The Atlantic that some in your audience may be familiar with. It was called Listening to Young Atheists, Lessons for a Stronger Christianity. And what we discovered that really parallels the Public Religion Research Institute's findings is that in our own research, we found that children from stable families tended to be, let me put it this way, those students who identified as atheists generally had a higher percentage of them who came from broken homes. And I think this is because, as one has put it, that in a divorce, everything gets divided, absolutely everything, and materially, the family, but also religious attitudes. And if you think of it, if mom and dad were attending a church together and taking their child to that church, obviously one of them no longer attends that church, maybe both. And the result is that children, their loyalties are also divided, and their stability in a spiritual sense is shaken to its core. And so you often find that rather than growing up with consistent instruction of a mother and father, who say this is who we are and this is what we believe and this is the God we believe and this is the particular stripe of religion that we adhere to, they tend to be very divided, and the result is they're often not committed to anything.
It's kind of interesting, that study that you referenced from the Public Religion Research Institute. Since 1972, I think they say the number of people who do not have religious affiliations has grown from 5% up to 25% currently. And they parallel that to a spike in divorce rate that occurred in the 80s. So in the 1980s, the divorce rate was at its highest peak in the United States. And it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that those two track so closely?
It really is. And of course, today fewer, I think our divorce rates would be every bit as high or significantly higher now than they were in the 80s. But of course, now many are moving away from any quaint notions of marriage and commitment to just simply living together. And if it works, fine. If it doesn't, and those relationships that end. But yes, I think speaking as somebody who's worked with youth for upwards of 30 years, I can tell you that stable families generally are going to have, as this data says, but I just speaking from my own experience, anecdotally, it's no surprise to me to discover that stable families tend to be more spiritually stable and less spiritually confused. And it just goes to show us that how important, particularly in this election season where so many, I'm somewhat alarmed at the number of Christians who have put their hope in a figure like Donald Trump. And what I mean by that is that, they're seeking political solutions to spiritual problems. At the end of the day, even if Donald Trump is elected on November 9th, it doesn't solve the problems in this country. It maybe stems a certain kind of liberal political tide. But the problems in this country, a study like this suggests, begin in the home. And if we want to transform this country, it's not going to be a quick political fix. It can't be legislated. It's going to have to begin with moms and dads who are committed to one another and committed to the spiritual training of their children.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Larry. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. Our special guest today is Larry Alex Taunton, the author of The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, the founder and executive director of the Fixed Point Foundation, trying to equip and encourage people on how to defend the faith and to go out in this world and to deliver the one message that really matters, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Larry, we're so grateful to have you. For our listeners, we have a special resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It's called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. It really is paralleling this conversation that we're having with Larry today. If we want to know the solutions to the problems in this world, it has to start with each individual coming to terms with their own sinfulness, coming to terms with the offer that God has for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is so vitally important. As it starts reaching human hearts, it starts to have this ripple effect that we see in every area of life. So we want to put this in your hands, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. It's available for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel. Just go to our website, basicgospel.net, and hit the donate link and request your copy. We want to put that in your hands as quickly as we possibly can. So back to Larry. Larry, again, thank you for being with us. I love your thoughts and ideas and what you're saying there about the world trying to find political solutions to spiritual problems. It really is a matter of the heart, isn't it? And so how does the gospel really play into this? What do you what are you suggesting as far as Christians, as individual Christians, church leaders, and the church at large? What is our role in this at this point in time?
Are you referring to the political situation or to the divorce rate in children and so forth?
Well, the divorce rate, because that's certainly, you know, that's what we're talking about. But it has, I think, implications to the political thing as well. But, you know, as far as the church today, what can we do to, you know, give some stability to our children, to, you know, raise up kids who are healthy, who are stable, who have a solid position on the gospel of Jesus Christ?
You know, I think, Bob, that, you know, in my own experience all over the English-speaking world, in fact, just last night, I encounter students who have earnest questions, serious questions, middle schoolers, high schoolers, elementary school, college students. I mean, it begins very young. And serious questions about the things they're seeing in the culture. They just about all of them have an iPhone or some kind of smartphone, or they have, you know, access, very ready access in their hands or on their laptops to a broader world, and things that you and I were able to prevent coming into our homes simply by keeping the front door shut. Today comes into our homes electronically, and we're scarcely aware of all the things that they're seeing, the ideas that they're encountering, and so forth. And the result of this is, of course, that they become quite confused. They have an awful lot of questions, and I really feel like there is a poverty of preaching in our pulpits. And by that, I'm not even referring to liberal churches that don't take Scripture seriously, but even among conservative Bible-believing churches, there is a poverty of preaching that connects Scripture with the broader world. And the result is that many might come away, say, from a nice sermon on John chapter 2 that, and you know, wow, I just learned that, you know, Jesus could turn water into wine. But maybe the connection isn't made to a broader world and to that application. And so I really think that one of the things we have to be doing, Bob, is really taking seriously the questions that kids have and then seeking to direct them into Scripture, to enter into it with them and to begin providing them with solid answers so that they might stand firm in a culture that is increasingly hostile to their faith.
What do you think? This question just popped in mind as you were saying that. You see today a lot of parents, instead of being parents, are trying to be friends. They want to be friends with their kids,
yeah.
And they're afraid to step on toes, afraid to offend, and therefore afraid to really talk about what's going on in their kids' lives. You know, it's almost the same way out of pulpits today. It seems like leaders within the church are more interested in being liked than they are in just delivering the good news and really exploring what's going on in the souls of the people that they are ministering to. And it's really watered down the gospel. Are you seeing that in your own experience?
Oh, yes, I certainly am. And to your first point, I do see an awful lot of parents who want to just be friends with their children, or, you know, keep the conversation kind of light and never really get into the bigger aspects of parenting. The reality is parenting is hard work. I mean, it's a lot of work. I have four children. My youngest is 18. My oldest is married and has a child. And it's interesting for me to watch him as he is beginning that process of parenting. But I'm reminded every day of, even now, I was reassuring a young mother the other day, or I don't know, maybe this wasn't very reassuring, but I was telling her that, you know, even at the age that my children are, we're still parenting. We're still engaged and involved in their in their lives, and it, maybe it's kind of more of a role of coaching at this point, you know, given their ages and degree of independence from us. But we're still involved with them. And when they were younger, there are those times where you know this is going to take all night. My night is shot. You know, I was planning on sitting down and watching the game, but you know what I'm going to have to do is this is going to require me battling with this child and helping him to see his sin and what he's done and why he's wrong and why he must repent of this thing and before we can move on to the next thing. And those kinds of things take an awful lot of work, an awful lot of commitment, but in the end is massive reward. You're not doing yourself any favors as a parent by being permissive, by just simply seeking to be a friend. You're just simply delaying the inevitable, or you're setting your children up for failure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is so true. I've stated here recently that, you know, Christianity prides itself on the fact of being interested in the souls of men. And it's interesting to me that we don't spend a lot of time trying to find out what's going on in the souls of men. And certainly that applies in the parenting world. We don't really want to know what's going on inside of our kids. We don't explore those things. Why? Because those types of conversations are uncomfortable. They're hard. But love is not an easy thing, as you said. Love is kind of a roll up your sleeves, messy proposition.
Yeah.
But it's so worth the reward. And you want your kids, and the whole gospel, what the gospel does, I see, as far as the death, the burial, and resurrection, it releases us from an old way of life and just thrusts us forward into something new. And we want to help our kids experience that same thing, to be released from all of those sinful attitudes and habits and actions, so that they can truly walk free in this newness of life that God has given them in Christ Jesus. And that really takes some time in relating that event that happened 2,000 years ago, bringing it forward to today and saying, this is why this is really relevant. This is why this applies to you. The very thing that you're struggling with is exactly what Jesus had in mind when he went to that cross 2,000 years ago and when he was raised from the dead, so that you could be set free and could experience new life. And that just takes a lot of time, energy, and effort. It's not a once and done thing.
You're so right. In our own study, the aforementioned, you can find this on my website, LarryAlexTaunton, TAUNTON.com. In our own study, we found that where kids were getting answers was off of YouTube. What they were doing is, you know, because mom and dad just really weren't that interested in having these big discussions or getting into these kinds of things, or were rather dismissive or worse, completely unaware of what was going on in their children's lives. But they were Googling, you know, questions like, you know, about Old Testament violence or a gay marriage or creation or you name it. Is Jesus the only way? And what, you know, there's an old saying, the devil takes all your questions seriously. And the answers they were often finding on the internet were not from a Christian perspective, but rather from a perspective that was hostile to the Christian faith. And so parents found themselves with children that did not share their own worldview. And I must tell you, I encounter that all the time. Moms and dads who love the Lord, who come to me and want to know why Junior does not share their values. Well, you know, it's because, you know, their 15 minutes a day does not compete with the 9 or 10 hours a day that those children are getting from a worldview that is corrosive to Christian belief. And so, I think in my own experience, my wife and I, we have discovered that parenting is hard work. And yet, what a joy it is for me now. My three boys are all fine young men who love the Lord and who have set a trajectory for their lives of service. They did not they were not hostile to discipline. They were not hostile to correction, but received it. And the result has been a wonderful to watch in their lives. They're not sinless, but these are kids who love Jesus, and I have enormous confidence in them. My adopted daughter, Sasha. Some of your audience may be familiar with my first book, The Grace Effect, which is about Sasha's story. She was abandoned at birth. She was born HIV positive. And grew up in three different orphanages, at least the first 11 years of her life in Ukraine. And, Sasha came to us in a very confused religious state, and of course, very confused about family and so forth. And it has been so wonderful. As much work as it has been wonderful to watch the transforming work of God's grace in her life and to see her now as the boldest evangelist I know. She fearlessly shares her faith in Jesus Christ and conveys to other people her real passion for the gospel. And these are the results of wonderful fruit of years of tilling that soil.
Yes, indeed. It reminds me of Paul's letter to the Colossians when he said, I'm praying for you because I see the fruit of the gospel in your lives because you've heard about it and you've understood the truth of it, and it's bearing fruit just as it's doing in the world. One last question for you, Larry. Say, in our audience, there are people out there that are divorced and they're starting to think about their kids. What advice would you have to them as far as their kids are concerned? Maybe they're young kids, maybe they're older kids. They certainly can't go back and rewrite the past. It is what it is. What do you tell them going forward? How can they start interjecting this good news of Jesus Christ into their kids' lives?
Well, I will give an abbreviated version of what your listeners can find on our website, LarryAlexTaunton, TAUNTON.com. A resource there called Passing the Torch. It's a film of a conference that I did with a colleague on this very subject. How do we pass the torch of faith to our children? I think what is really key to this is really just one of the things that we've been talking about here, and that is you must be really committed to the hard work of parenting. Your children must see that your faith is real, not superficial, but real. And initially, our children relate. Their understanding of God comes through us. They have, if I may put it this way, we serve kind of a priestly role for our children when they're very small. But there has to come a point where their relationship with God becomes their own. And it becomes something that's very real in their life. And it's something that is animating their thinking, their ambitions, their relationships, all of these things. And that requires that we are getting them in the Word, that we're getting them with good Christian fellowship, that we are really taking a key role in managing, as it were, their spiritual lives, and helping them to think about the broader world. I have parents say to me, to me, this is one of the most absurd things that I consistently hear. Well, you can't shelter your kids. And my response to that is, well, then just exactly what is your job? That's precisely what we're supposed to do. We are to shelter our children until such time, as Psalm 127 puts it, we take them like arrows from a quiver and we aim them at a very dark world that is seeking answers, and we fire them off. But until that time, we are sharpening them. We're preparing them for the time
that's
that
well
we
said.
Have set them forth.
That's well said, Larry. And thank you so much for being with us on today's broadcast. If you're listening and want more information about Larry, check out his website at LarryAlexTaunton.com. Highly recommend him and all of his resources. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll see you again tomorrow for another live edition.